Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How's everybody doing? Happy Monday. Happy Patriots Day. Happy 420, whatever it is you're celebrating today. How you doing? Fellas,
really
welcome
good.
To another week.
Patriots Day. Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, today's the day.
Wow.
Big day.
How many runners are out there today? I know they said don't go and run.
Oh, I bet there's some.
Oh, there's some wackos out there. Wackos all over this area.
I bet there are some out there. But that is being strongly advised against.
Yeah, people are starting to snap. We're getting there.
Welcome into Zolak and Bertrand. The Patriots will now prepare and have been preparing for the NFL draft, which happens on Thursday night. It'll get underway from Roger Goodell's basement. Starts on Thursday in a fully televised event that will use the powers of technology to bring everybody together. Here's a broad question for everyone. Callers included, 617-779-0985. What do you want to see the Patriots do this week? What would you like to see them accomplish in the 2020 NFL draft? And more specifically, let's say the first couple of rounds. What are you looking for the Pats to do? Zoe, what do you think?
For me personally, like, okay, Zoe's wish list, what would you love for this team to do? I would love, and I keep going back to that draft where they maneuvered and moved around to get Dante Hightower and Chandler Jones. You still have Dante Hightower here. You had to get rid of Chandler Jones for whatever reason you thought, right? Whether it wasn't going to work, whether you couldn't afford all those guys on defense. Chandler's still playing at a freaking high level. When they target defensive guys in that middle of that first round, they nail it, man. And they nail it. They nail it well. They've got Seymour, you know, going back to guys like Ty Warren. You know, Vince sort of fell to them, but then they pounced on Vince when Vince was there. They nail their middle of the first round defensive picks. I would love to see them move up to get that kid Simmons. Now, just to give you a name, Simmons from Clemson. Now, he's a hybrid freak, runs under 4.4. You talk about speed. I want the team to get fast. I want to see a fast team on defense because I think the defense is going to be their strength. I want to see him bolster defense in his first round. Now, that's my hope. I don't know if they'll do that, though. Everybody's saying, yo, let's move up and get a quarterback. No, let's trade up and get an A-hole, okay? I want an A-hole in the middle of the first round. When I say middle, somewhere, if that guy may fall, and it's probably not going to be Simmons, he'll probably be a top five pick. Give me an A-hole in the middle of that, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15 range right in there. And they could go up. They got three thirds. So, I mean, they have the collateral to move up a little bit. You know, just if that guy falls right there, then that's reaching up to go get your guy.
So
that's
your
guy.
What you're describing is something aggressive.
Yeah.
Right?
You say, yeah, so your wish list, that would be my wish list. Yeah.
Right. Is be aggressive, move up in the draft, and do something. That would be dramatic, I think, is
that
what
would
you're
be,
rooting for.
It hasn't happened, and how long has Dante been here? You know, a lot of years. That hasn't happened in a while. So,
so
I mean, we're changing. It's a big change on everything now, right? We're changing here with this team. There's a lot of question marks.
Yeah.
That would get me excited. I mean, that would get me excited.
I would actually propose the opposite. And that is for the Patriots to be either more conservative in staying at 23 and drafting who they feel is the best player on the board, or even moving back And I never am one to really sort of be a proponent of this. I'm typically the opposite. I usually say no. You know, stay where you are, use your picks, and if you would have a chance to move up, do it. This is the year. Watch, as now I'm saying this, they'll definitely move up now.
Attaboy.
I would say stay at 23, or if you have a chance, if you can pick up this more second-round picks and get back into that second round and work your magic the way that Bill Belichick likes to work his magic, whether that be just moving back a few spots, whatever it might be, I think that this is the year where you play it a little bit more conservatively, and this is one of those years where I wouldn't hate them taking more shots.
I mean,
as long as it's in the top, let's say, 60, 70 picks of the draft.
It does make sense, too, because I don't think this is an extremely strong draft in a lot of different areas, you know, specifically tight end. There's no, like, home run at tight end.
No, but this year receiver is stacked. You know? The receiver class is ridiculous.
Oh, well, wait, you're going to trade again now? Oh, we're going to go get more receivers now, right? Yeah. No, thanks. You know, show me that you like these guys. We're going to win with these guys. Your first rounder was N'Keal Harry. Your second rounder this year went to Sanu. There's two top picks right there in receivers. Let's pump the brakes on drafting receivers up that high again. Let's go get some defense. I'm with you, though, Beto. You ask me, what do I think they're going to do as opposed to what I want them to do? I think they're trading out because I don't think it's a strong draft. I think they're going to go backwards. Not necessarily as a team, but move backwards like you're talking about because I think it's just been a tough year getting around kids, studying kids, understanding. They've done their homework. They've Skyped kids. They've done a lot of it. But I don't know. I don't know. I just think if the top guys are gone in the top 15, I could see them trading out of 23 and acquire more picks, more collateral.
Right, especially if someone slides and the pick becomes more valuable, which
sure.
means the trade would be going down on draft night, not taking place prior to the draft.
Correct.
This is if a guy is starting to slide down the board and they don't have any interest in him, they could make the pick more valuable, which means it's probably the best time to make that deal. You can make a contingency deal, and then if someone slides, you can blow it up and go elsewhere with that pick. But I'm all for them going with a pick that is not exactly a sexy pick either. Like, if they draft a defensive lineman, I won't be upset at all, not even a little bit. You want to draft, as you said, you want an edge guy or a linebacker, that would be great. You know, those are positions of need on a team where I think they've got a lot of positions of need. I think there are a lot of places they could draft.
Yeah, you lose some backers, man. You lose Van Noy. It's tough.
Even if they were to draft a wide receiver, though, if they were to draft a wide receiver, what would you say? Is that not a position of need on this team?
It is.
A position of need.
It is.
I mean, I would say right now, the one thing what don't they need?
I mean,
Let's go in reverse. Defensive
backs? If like that kid Judy from Alabama, the receivers falls to them, they're, yeah,
corners? What, they don't need corners?
I wouldn't even call it position of need, Beadle. I think you have to identify the unknowns. And for the first time, the Patriots have a handful of unknowns on their offense that it makes it difficult to guess, A, what they're going to do, and B, for me to say, well, this is absolutely what they should go out and do. They don't know what their quarterback situation is. They know who's there, but I think they know with Brian Hoyer that he can go in there and start you some games, but he's not your answer. They may think they know the answer with Stidham, but they don't know. They don't really know. So you don't know what your offense is going to be able to do. And to our conversation earlier, when it comes to some of the receivers, whether it's N'Keal Harry or Jacoby Meyer or even Mohamed Sanu, was it something with those guys inherently that they just weren't ready with, Harry and Jacoby? Will they be ready next year, or was it a Brady thing? They don't know. I don't know. I can't definitively say they have a need at receiver or a need at quarterback. I think they probably still have a need at both, but they probably need some time to figure that out. So I think if you identify the unknowns, then you leave those alone for now. You leave alone your unknowns, and you go after the positions of need. So it's actually three categories: what you know, what you don't know, and then positions of need.
Yeah, you go back to what Belichick said last week too. Sorry, regarding the Brady stuff. Like, we've made every decision in the last 20 years to in respect of Tom, to help Tom. And he said we're going to make decisions moving forward regarding whoever that quarterback is to help that quarterback. So maybe they will do something offensively to help who they have in mind, and maybe it is Stidham. But I think they have to kind of you know, even though they said it's going to be open competition, when you have a group of three or four, you kind of know who the leader is, right? I mean, you got to assume that as a coach. All coaches do. All football guys know that. When you're in that group, you know which guy, oh, this guy's throwing better than me, or this guy's not throwing better than me. I'm better than this guy. There's got to be some sense of, okay, if we got to put a draft, we got to put a draft board up there, and here's our starters right now, it's probably Stidham, okay? So they've got to make decisions moving forward based on what can help Stidham grow. And maybe it is a young tight end. Maybe it is another young receiver. Because, yeah, they had Gordon here. They had, you know, Antonio Brown. They had Mohamed Sanu, or they still have Mohamed Sanu. But those decisions were made to help bolster Tom and give him some firepower there, you know, try and replace what you lost in Gronkowski. So, funny, still sitting here 2 years later and still trying to, you know, get back some of that power that you had on offense because you missed the damn tight end so much. So, don't forget, still got Edelman, still James White. You know, they have people they can put in the huddle.
That's where we start. You know, what do you want to see this team do? How would you like to see them approach it? And do you want them to be aggressive, or do you want them to be a little bit more conservative, maybe take more shots? The way Jim Louth said it to us this morning, do you want to hit home runs, or do you want to hit doubles?
I want to hit dingers.
I would be more in the I want to hit doubles. Let's hit
doubles. Yeah, double score. You could score hitting doubles, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, ask John Valentin.
617-779-0985, the phone number. We'll get to your calls on the NFL draft. Also, the latest on the Patriots being linked to quarterbacks in the draft, one in particular, that would be Tua. We'll get to that story and get into that a little bit. Quarterbacks and how that may come into be a factor for the Patriots Thursday or Friday or Saturday. We'll talk about that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's one of those guys that might be a question mark at the NFL level because of his pure athleticism and all, but you look at things like when he came off the bench in a national championship game, his first real playing time, everything was on the line and he performed. The big stage never affected him. He went out and balled. He just flat out played. And he's got a tremendous arm. And I go back to that same game and he just flicks his wrist and that thing's spinning. It reminds me of the way the ball came off Michael Vick's hand because he's a lefty and how hard and far he can actually throw the football.
That's Doug Flutie. In a draft preview, talking about Tua Tagovailoa as a Mike Vick comp?
Little guy love, huh?
Are
little
we guys. Doing that? Are
how
we comparing
hard he
Tua?
Throws, how hard he throws? A little bit of a stretch here. It's a windup.
I haven't you know seen what? Any Mike Vick qualities in Tua. I'm sorry. I mean, that's not to say Tua's not
lefty.
Good. I think he could be very good, but I also wouldn't draft him.
Lefty, he can move a little bit. He does have that Flutie windup.
It is. It's little guy love, isn't it? You
it
nailed it, so.
Love. Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
Just flicked it.
Here's what Peter King has on Tua today. In a mock draft, he's got the Patriots moving up to get him at number 13 in a trade with San Francisco. A lot of layers to this. Trade with San Francisco, of course, with the friendly relationship that has existed between that front office and this front office here in New England. Here's what Peter King writes. So Tagovailoa could drop, and Bill Belichick really doesn't want to take a quarterback now. With one draft pick in the top 85 this year, I'm going to step in here and say he's also got 87. But with one draft pick in the top 85 this year and needs all over his roster, and truly I have no indication, no inside information that says he'd do this. It's simply a guess. But think if you're Belichick, because your team never finishes 3-13, you never have a chance to get one of the best quarterbacks in the college game. Until Tagovailoa's hip popped out of the socket last November, forcing immediate and urgent surgery. He was 1/1A with the transcendent Joe Burrow to be the first pick in the draft. And you don't want to pillage the lone first or lone second round pick from next year's draft. But do you want to do it for a great but pockmarked talent such as Tagovailoa 5 months after major hip surgery? I do know Belichick would have confidence in his player procurement skills. Tua, coming off the surgery, represents a guy who would have gone very high in this draft, but because of his injury history, which does go beyond the hip, he's had multiple surgeries for high ankle sprains. He now represents, though, a guy who is going to drop in the draft, and I think is actually sliding this week, if you follow some of those draft tea leaves. And it's going to get to a point where he's still there, and either a team that's in the middle of the first round or second half, we'll say second half of the first round, after pick 15, is they're not going to be able to say no. They're going to have to sit there and go, well, you know, we have this pick, and this guy's available, and either we should take him or we should trade back and let someone else get him. And you know, stock up on and get better draft capital as a result of it. And so the same way you talk about the Patriots, who's there? It matters who is there at 23 for them. It might be who's there for a team that's looking to trade out of 16, 17, 18, somewhere in there, or even in this case, as Peter King suggests, number 13 overall, where at some point someone's going to say, oh, we can't let this keep happening. We got a shot at him. Let's take him. And could that team be the Patriots given their quarterback situation?
See, and that's an extreme case, right, if he slides. And I disagree with the 1-1A. I thought Burrow had great separation from him. Burrow played at a high level all year. And, you know, people thought, well, wait till you get to the championship game. Then wait till you get to here. Wait till you play better competition. And he just kept getting bigger and better and better. I think Burrow's the clear number one here. I don't think there was 1-1A. I think there's good distance between the next
okay,
guy.
Okay, he's two. He's the clear-cut number two guy in the draft then, if he doesn't get hurt.
Maybe.
Well, who would you put ahead of him?
I don't know. I mean, Herbert. He and Herbert are probably a flip of the coin. Who's two? Right? I'm just based on everything I read. I don't like Herbert either.
I don't know, man. Like I don't know how Tua would not have been the clear-cut number two.
Maybe. Man.
If he doesn't get hurt.
He's so different, Beetle. I mean, you know, it's just, do you believe in that guy playing at the next level? Now you could say, yeah, okay, Kyler Murray did it, and he has similar size, right? I go back to watching the tape and studying guys and how comfortable they look in the pocket, how comfortable they look dropping back. And I go back to Fromm and Jalen Hurts. And Jalen Hurts is a guy that was playing in front of Tua when they pulled him out of that championship game, the SEC championship game, and Tua came in and threw that great bomb down that left sideline to win the game. And there's a guy like Hurts who played really well for Nick Saban in Alabama and then went to Oklahoma, another really good program, by the way, and played well there. I mean, that's a hell of a story. It's almost like, give me the guy that's tested. You know, that we didn't believe in you, we didn't go with you, but okay, you're resilient. You got back on your feet. You found another place to play. I like Hurts better than I like Tua. I do. And I think Hurts is a guy you could get on day two.
So you don't see there being any chance of the Patriots?
I don't see any chance of them grabbing him. No.
Okay. No. So you go through the draft order, and there's a lot of teams that sort of have their quarterback situation at least figured out for now. But, you know, I could see Tua going to a bunch of different spots in this draft because the lower he falls, the more willing a team, even if they think they have their quarterback, is going to be willing to take him.
Well, I agree with that, yeah.
At some point, they're going to say, well, screw it. This guy's available. We're going to take him.
Right.
And it may not be drafting for need. So we'll see what happens. But
can I ask a follow-up to Zoe on that, though?
Just the fact that Peter King writes about this as a possibility. He's always sort of hearing things across the league. And I just think it shouldn't be discounted as a possibility.
So can I ask you a follow-up on that, though? So knowing that you don't like him, do you think they're not going to do it because you don't like him and that's – If is there a possibility that they like him, or do you think that they don't like him as well?
No, I think there's
because
a possibility.
Because I think
they
when you
say,
you're saying
him.
That as if I don't like the guy, so it's not worth moving up no matter how far he falls, even if it's – because King's saying give up a first rounder this year and the first rounder next year, right, to go to 13,
yeah.
Right? No. You're saying that's nuts for Tua, but I'll say it again. if the Patriots like him, do you think they could do that? Or do you think that they just don't like him?
They'd have to do that if they love him. They have to love him to be able to do that. Then they have to be willing, I think, to change their system. Honestly, I don't think their system's going to change that much. I think they like Stidham. I think they like his size, his structure, the way he fits within the what they did with Brady. They're going to tweak it a little bit. And I just think that's a – it's just we kind of have a guy. Do we really know that this guy can be a guy if we get him? There's no guarantees with Tua. And I think he just doesn't fit the way they play. That's all. So if you kind of have that guy, you keep that guy, as opposed to mortgaging your future, giving up two ones here, man, to get a guy, and he may not even be ready this year. So, I mean, they watch tape, and they probably like him. They see him. Bill likes football players, right? The kid's a football player. He's a winner. And your job as a quarterback is to win.
So you don't know. This isn't informed speculation. This is just your opinion.
It's my opinion.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get out of here.
Knowing this team and how they operate. Now, I have a call into somebody who may have a better handle on the situation. I've not heard back. So that may change by Thursday. I don't know. I'll update you on that. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a real reach to go up and get him there.
I think it'd be insane, by the way. I agree with you. This would be absolute insanity if they did this. I'd be pissed if they did this. And I think that I wouldn't rule it out as a possibility. I don't rule out anything as a possibility.
Watch these guys.
But this would be nuts.
Watch some of these guys coming out. That's my point about the combine. You've really got to jump. And I thought Baker Mayfield 2 years ago did that at the combine. Now, he's standing there with a freaking headband on a wristband. He looks like a goofball, and it kind of turns you off. But, Jesus, you watch him in the pocket. You watch his footwork on the drops. Holy crap, this guy threw the best at the combine.
Would you take him off your board?
I wouldn't take him off my board. You got to leave the kid on the board.
Man, I would have had him off the board if he were healthy.
I put him in the mix with a bunch of guys.
You know me.
I put him in the mix with a bunch of guys.
I'm down on this.
The guy beat out, you know? Yeah.
So you're saying you could have been convinced if he was healthy and was able to work out at the combine and showed it, you could have been convinced like you were on Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, if he was throwing dimes, yeah.
So hopefully they have some inside information if this is true, that they're going to move up.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to your phone, 617-779-0985. Zach is in Milford. Hey, Zach.
Hey, morning, guys. Happy Patriots Day.
Hey, buddy.
What's up?
Hey, Zoe, I wanted to ask you as the resident quarterback expert here at the Sports Hub, if you got three, you know, Stidham, Hoyer, or other, where are you at right now?
Stidham. Easy.
I agree with you. While I was on hold, you guys broke the news, or you said that Peter King reported we're going to potentially could trade up to San Fran for Tua, and I called last week from Newton at Boston College, and for Flutie to say that, I love Flutie, but I think the Michael Vick comparison is a little outlandish.
A little much.
It's little guy love.
You know what? You want to compare anybody to Michael Vick? It's Lamar Jackson. This kid ain't Lamar Jackson. Sorry.
Oh, stop it. Oh. Wait a minute. You're going to put Lamar Jackson in the Michael Vick category?
No, I'm saying footwork.
How does that work?
Footwork, dude.
Footwork. Yeah, there's just like that little thing
making
of throwing the football,
well,
which is
yeah.
sort of important to the quarterback position.
Yeah.
No way. That's disrespectful to Michael Vick. David's in New Bedford. David.
Yes, I think the Patriots should draft defense because they're getting up there in age, and they lost a lot of players this year on the defensive side of the ball. So I think that is really important to build up and get younger out on defense, and that's my thought. Thank you.
Yes, it's a good thought, David. There's needs all over the place.
Was that David
There's
Most?
Needs all over this team.
Johnny Most kid? Was that Johnny Most kid?
I don't know.
Wow.
But I think he's, you know, to say, hey, they got to add pieces back to the defense. Absolutely. Look at all the losses they had, whether it's Jamie Collins
That's
or Kyle
choice.
Van Noy.
Jesus.
Sure.
Landon Roberts.
Absolutely.
Like, you're down, defenders, man. Danny Shelton up front. You know, you're missing some guys. Some guys have played a lot of good quality snaps over there on that side of the ball.
And that, to me, is a much better move than doing something insane. Like,
when are you going to get a freaking tight end?
Completely insane to move up to 13 and try and draft Tua. Or just focus on drafting a guy like Tua in the first round. No. There's too many needs on this team right now. They need to sort of build things back up. And
did you see that?
The conservative approach this year is one that I think could work best for them to also make up for a lot of the misses that they've had in recent years' drafts, that they've got to sort of make up for in just numbers. Yeah. I think that's part of the conversation as well. The Patriots put out new uniforms today. They promised that they would have new uniforms put out on Patriots Day, and we are at that point. You will be able to see them if you go to the Patriots on their social media accounts. You'll also be able to see it on this simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. But we will tell you our thoughts on the Pats' new unis. That's coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050. Or gamblinghelplinema.org.
Sports Hub. Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pose.
Patriots have put out new uniforms. They have scrapped their current uniforms. That means the white uniform, the blue uniform that they've been wearing for 20 years, that's it. They're done. They're toast. They've changed out their primary uniforms. Their new uniforms will be, if you know their Color Rush uniform in blue, that will be their blue uniform with blue pants. And they have introduced a new white jersey that has stripes on the shoulders that are similar to, I would say, the stripes that were on the shoulders of the jerseys in Zoe's early seasons of his career. The only thing that's missing from those stripes is a little thin piece of white around the blue. But I think that's sort of a throwback over-the-shoulder stripe look.
It's an old school look.
These uniforms.
Yeah. It's an old school look, the white. Now, the only problem with the white is there's no numbers on the shoulder pads. See, I love numbers up on the shoulder pads, the big square ones. I love the block lettering. That's the first thing I look at, especially as a blocking broadcaster. Can you see the numbers from up upon high?
So I and didn't even realize that. There's no numbers on the sleeve or shoulder.
That's what makes it such a throwback. Remember when Geno, they got Geno's number up there they're wearing, number 20. So there's no numbers. It's an old school look, you know, with no numbers up on top. That's the biggest change for me. I mean, I like the color rush. They're okay. I grew to like the color rush. I didn't really like it at first. I like the home color rush. I think it's a lot of blue, though. I would have liked to see what this road would look like with maybe white pants or red pants. Like, if you wanted to do your road uniform, go back to our old red pants and see how that would blend with it. Like, it's a lot of blue on the bottom with the socks and the pants. It's almost like too much blue. But hey, they've had the same uniforms for 20 years. Any change, people are going to be going nuts over, right? So I put it.
No? Well, nuts how? Good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, I love the classic home uniform, the silver pants with the blue jersey. That's my favorite. And you're not going to see that anymore. The white's growing on me.
Yeah, it's not growing on me.
Not with the blue pants.
I think this change sucks. I think this is disappointing.
Well, at least they didn't touch the helmet.
And it's it feels like it's the end of an era. Like they're putting the end of the era on the look and feel of the Patriots from 2000 until now.
It's almost like organizational shift, right?
Good teams don't change their uniforms. Bad teams change their uniforms. That's how I feel. The Patriots changed their uniforms, and they went 5-11 in the first year with the new uniforms. That's what they were in Bill Belichick's first season with those uniforms back in the year 2000. And I can't help but feel that when teams sort of have downturns, that's when they do the uniform changes. And I just feel the Patriots had such a classic look and a great uniform for the last two decades that I would not have touched it or messed with it to the degree that they just did. That's what I think. I think that blue uniform, their blue jersey, was one of the best. And they just flushed it down the toilet. Why,
be,
I don't know.
It'd be like the Cowboys changing, you know, their blue. And they've tweaked theirs, too, over the years, have the Cowboys, but not to the point where it's a drastic difference. They still have the silver pants. It'd be like the Steelers doing it. Steelers have some terrible uniforms, you know, the stupid bumblebee ones with the yellow numbers. Went to the slanted number. I don't like that. I love the classic block. I think I'm good with the number. I first look at it with the numbers. I'm just disappointed there's no numbers on the shoulder pads, but that's also a Cleveland Brown look, too. You know, Cleveland went back to those old throwback uniforms with just the stripes on the shoulders. So that's
like
got to be
these giant red stripes on the shoulder. They're hideous.
So they say
they stick out like a sore thumb. They're gross.
What'd they say? It's an ode to the past, but fit for the future?
Yeah. You know,
nod to the past? What is from the past? The white ones?
I understand that you can't keep everything the same.
No, I think the ode to the past is the stripes, the big stripes that are over the shoulders, much like the, you know, the uniforms were many years ago. Sorry,
you have to evolve and you have to, you know, change things up every once in a while. I get that. But, you know, one of the advantages of being the Patriots is you are the Patriots. You know, they've said this about, you know, college football programs in the past and certain uniforms. Zoe, you like to say this about Michigan. Like Michigan's helmets.
Yeah.
That's worth 3 points.
Alabama, Penn State, they're all worth, right. Yeah. You know, don't touch it.
Going into certain places, you know, to play, whether it's in Seattle or whether it's at Arrowhead, you know, there's a certain advantage to being who you are and playing where you are. And one of the advantages the Patriots have is they're the Patriots. Now, you have lost your most important component in terms of a player, but you're still the Patriots. So you should utilize everything that your name and your image represents to opposing teams for as long as you can.
Absolutely, Hardy.
And now you're saying, like, all right, Tom Brady's not here anymore, but people coming to Gillette Stadium are still coming to Gillette, and they're going to see us take the field in those same uniforms that we've been wearing while Brady was playing, and that's got to be worth something. Or we can just change that up and let people know right away, hey, you're playing the Patriots, but this ain't anything like Tom Brady's Patriots. Don't you worry about that. And in case you thought you were playing Tom Brady's Patriots, we're going to change the uniforms to dispel any notion before we snap the ball one time from the line of scrimmage. Okay? Let's level the playing field. Let's play this game fairly. Like, what are you doing? Use everything you have to your advantage. And the old uniforms, I don't see how they weren't advantageous to you. You're changing them now? You're going to change them? Like, it doesn't make any sense
now
to me.
I got to pay money and buy my kid new shirts now because he's going to want them.
No, but that's the on-field element.
That's
then
another thing, though, too. You want to sell product, right? You want to move merch. That's part of it.
There's just the fan element of it, too. Like, the mentality of it is, can you at least still just look like your team? You know, you're going to go through a change here. Can we come out on the other side of a pandemic and the other side of losing Tom Brady and at least go to the game and feel like, oh, all right, I still got my football team. They're still out there. You're going to go there and say, wow, these guys are not as good as we thought they were anymore. And now they look totally different, too. Like, visually, can we just have it be the same on the other side? Like, Brady left and the uniform has changed. And I think they're actually connected. I believe that they had to have known when Brady was leaving when they decided to make the change. I bet they're connected. Jim agrees
with me on
this.
I was told they're not.
Yeah.
It's been in the works for a while.
Yeah, by who? So.
By the Patriots.
Yeah, they've been in the works for a while, just like they've known that Brady's going to be leaving at the start of the year, just like Brady said, right?
Brady did, too. You're right. Yeah, Jim, sure. Yeah, you can look at it both ways like that, yeah. Hey, you got wipes in there, Jim?
Brady's gone. We're not going to be selling all those number 12 jerseys anymore at our pro shop. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what. We'll make a new jersey, and then we'll force everyone to buy the new one.
Oh.
Like, it just stinks of that. And it's not even – I look at these jerseys, and I go, how much thought did you really put into these? This doesn't feel like you put a lot of thought into these jerseys. And like I said, when I see jersey changes,
why, Beetle? Because they don't look good.
They're
like so simple and basic. They look like a high school uniform.
Well,
like,
they use the Color Rush alternates. Like. They didn't even do a new uniform. They already had these uniforms.
Right. The whole permanent blue uniform is the one they already had.
Yes.
You know, it's not like there was a lot put into that. Like, oh, we're gonna use that one, keep the pants, and then make a white one too. Okay.
If you want to.
All right.
I don't think it's a good idea, but all
right. And no numbers, on,
numbers
the shoulders.
On the shoulders. I love the numbers on the shoulders.
Yeah.
Hardy, I was watching that Chris Spielman thing, that life, football life, and his old Ohio State uniforms with those massive. They had, remember when you were in school there and you played Ohio State, they had those massive numbers on top of their shoulder pads with the neck rolls? Like, those were huge. The numbers have shrunk on uniforms over the years. This is good. It looks like they've actually enlarged the number. The Patriots did.
Oh, well, there's
they're
that.
They're big. They're big. Yay. Numbers.
Exciting.
They're
good. I think of bad teams numbers. When I think of uniform changes. I think of the Atlanta Falcons changing them a million times. I think of the stupidity of the Cleveland Browns, the way they've changed their uniforms half a dozen times, tweaking it, trying to make it more modern. And what did they end up doing this offseason?
Right,
what everybody has been telling them to do for years. Just go back to your classic uniforms. You had a great uniform. Oh, okay. We'll do that. We'll go back to our more classic look because everyone loves a nice classic uniform look.
We do.
And so, you know.
I'm a big uniform guy. You know me.
Here we are. Here we are with what they rolled out today. The Patriots, when they hit the field, whenever that happens, they're not even going to look like the Patriots anymore. At least not the good version.
You know what?
Come on. You can't picture Tua in that uniform? Come on, Zoe. That big number 13 staring at you? Can you fit Tagovailoa on the back of the jersey?
No, that's why you don't take him. No, because his stripes would be so wide.
Johnny Bravo, he doesn't fit the vest.
617-779-0985. Are we being too hard on the team? Are we being too hard on the Patriots? There's at least one person here who thinks that Zoe and I are going easy on them lately.
Who?
Jim thinks we're going easy on the Pats. He thinks we're not being negative enough on the Patriots.
You're we said that?
You're on the take.
He's accusing us of being on the take. We'll get to it next. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we're going to air a grievance right here on the show because Jim took issue with Zoe and I this morning, and Hardy, too. I don't want to leave Hardy out of this. Now, Hardy had the most stinging comment of the morning, I thought.
I did?
Yeah, about the uniforms. The soft the air.
What? No, I'll say it.
All right, go ahead. It's up to you.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying right. That is that uniform looks like the uniform of a 7-9 team.
Yeah, I laughed. Like, it does. I'm sorry, it does. And this led to, Jim, you say it because
I'll say what I said. That's the way you feel about this team is a 7-9 team with all the gripes added up. You guys are you guys do not like the quarterback situation. You don't like the receiver situation. There's not enough weapons.
Right.
But even though that's the case, you still need to draft for defense, according to Zoe. Right? So you add all those up, and then you say, oh, what's your final record? Oh, 11-5. How's that possible?
Oh, not for me.
You guys do not feel like this team is a 10
team. Whoa. Jim, were you here the day we did the over-under on wins for the Patriots? You may not have been with us that day.
What did you have, Matt?
But I said that we were talking about, are they closer to a 7-9 team, or are they closer to a 6-10 team? Is that how we phrased it, Hardy, when we were talking about it?
Yeah. And just to clarify, that's not how I feel about this team.
No,
That's how I feel about the uniforms. I don't think they're a 7-9 team. I think they're an 8-8 team. You know,
yeah,
let's be
and
fair.
So do I. Yeah. And the line was at like 8.5, so we set it 9. Was it more likely that they'd have two more wins than what they were expected to get and get to 11, or end up with two fewer wins at 7? Are they closer to a 7-win team or an 11-win team? And I said I think they feel like they're closer to a 7-win team than an 11-win team, is what I said. So my thoughts on their record, Jim, reflect that.
But you also think they need to hit singles in the draft.
Doubles.
You're not going for the home run. All right,
No, I'm not going for the home run.
So don't teams, you need to go for the home run if you want to be good?
Teams that suck go for the home run. Teams that suck go for the home run.
Or teams that will... Did Kansas City go for the home run when they traded up to get Mahomes?
Yeah.
Did the Texans go for a home run when they traded up to get Watson?
Yep. How about the
teams
Bears?
Don't always suck. Teams don't always suck when they go for the home run.
Where was Mahomes drafted?
10th.
Yeah, that's definitely in the home run category.
They gave up a few first round picks to get him. I think 2 firsts and a 3rd.
But is it? You know what I think it is. It's are you talking just quarterback situation or in general the home run?
Well, usually the home run is a quarterback, right? When you don't have one,
yeah,
because you need to get one. So my point is, if they I feel like they can identify the quarterback. If they think Stidham's the guy, then great. Or if they don't like one of the guys in the draft to move up for, great. But if they make that trade to move up to get Tua, I trust their identification process of a quarterback that they've identified that guy, that's the guy. I trust their process enough. Even if I don't like, I hate Justin Herbert. If they trade up to get Herbert, I'm going to trust that he's the guy. They like him, and he's the guy. All right, I was wrong, maybe. They've identified him as the
fair.
Guy.
That's not wrong. I would totally be on board with that, too, by the way. I would trust them that if they're spending a high pick on a quarterback, that they're going to get it right. I trust them to get that particular position right because I think they've spent very little in draft capital to draft quarterbacks over the years, and they've done a lot with a little. The highest quarterback they ever took was Jimmy Garoppolo, and I know that we sort of have disagreements about what the ceiling is for Jimmy Garoppolo, but the guy has already started in a Super Bowl. And that is a testament to Bill Belichick identifying and drafting a quality quarterback. So I'm with you. If they go after one of the guys that I don't like, including Tua, I will trust them that they are getting it right and that I'm an idiot. Yes, no doubt about it. I really like, and I watch more draft like preview footage this weekend and highlight films than I ever want to admit to because you know how I feel about the draft. You know how I feel how it's an overrated event. But... Zoe, you are so right about Jalen Hurts, man.
Thank you.
Oh, man, I love this kid. If they can get him in the second round, I'm going to be thrilled. If they find a way to get some picks in there and hit doubles and pick up Jalen Hurts, then both things will be true, Jim. They will have done what I like, and it's them, again, being trusted to do the right thing. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, Hurts played a lot of football. He played at 2 different schools. He's been counted out. He got back up off the mat. It just seems like a stronger, more powerful version of Tua. Tua seems fragile to me, brittle.
But, Jim, I also...
We did this last year. What's the demarcation? Is it first, second round that it's the guy, or is it first round only, and then after the first round, it's just they're taking a flyer? What's the...
Well, flyer's a little strong. I would say...
Well, no, they have a first-round pick, and they have 87. If they take Jalen Hurts at 87... You can't say that that's the guy, right? That's
no,
just
you can't
that's a
say
Stidham
that's
equivalent.
The guy, but you're saying they that's took a Jared's... guy we can put with Stidham. We're
Wait a minute,
be good.
Didn't they take Jared Stidham? And in Bill's mind,
round.
He was the guy.
Who said that? In
Bill's
mind?
I'm sorry,
mind,
not Jared Stidham. My mistake. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Second round, 64.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty high.
So if they take him in the second round, then that's the so third round is not the guy. Second round, I'm just trying to figure out what's the. We come in Monday and. Saying, okay, this is what they did in the draft.
Oh, yes, absolutely. No, that's a good line to draw. I think second versus third round is a pretty good line.
I think it's quality high. I think first and second are real quality high picks.
Yeah.
Real quality.
Garoppolo was a second-round pick. Mallett and Brissett were third-round picks. That's the line, right?
What about Kevin O'Connell? Where was he drafted?
Third round.
Third.
Yeah,
third.
Thank you. Third round is junk. Second round, that'll match their next highest quarterback pick in Garoppolo, and so I'd be on board with if they're drafting a guy in the second round, that means they have big high hopes for that player. So he's their guy, and they're going to make him their guy. But I think Jalen Hurts could be a bit of a project. I think that might take a little bit of time. So I think, you know, if you had the expectation of, hey, we've got Hoyer and Stidham, and we'd like to develop a guy like Jalen Hurts for a year, I think that means that he's still their guy. They just don't think he's ready. Does that make sense?
If that's the case, yeah, Hurts might come in packages, like running packages or goal line packages
Taysom
or something
Hill.
Like that.
He could be Taysom Hill for a year.
Oh, he'd be a great Taysom Hill, yeah.
He'd be an awesome Taysom Hill. He's ridiculously
athletic. An exciting element to the offense, yeah.
Do you like him as a Taysom Hill or do you like him as a quarterback, though?
No, I like him eventually as a quarterback. I'm just saying if he's not starting right away, you could use him like Taysom Hill.
So I think that's the fallback on him is I don't like him as a quarterback, but I think there's a fallback where you can play him in another role.
That's fine. Does it help your offense? And that's the question.
I don't think he's the
does
guy.
It help
though.
You on, does he help? Does it help you on third and one, third and three? Is there a third and four package? It doesn't necessarily have to be a red zone or goal line package, you know?
So, Jim, just because I don't think the Patriots will have a great record as an 11 or 12 win team this year, I still think it'll be a boatload of fun. Like, you could see a lot of stuff happen within the offense that otherwise you would have never seen.
Well, that's the part that I get to you, where you're saying, oh, it's going to be a boatload of fun, 8-8. Yeah. Boatload of fun, 8-8.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be a lot of fun to watch and see how it plays out. With the understanding that the expectation shouldn't be that high for this team.
I don't go with the word fun. I go with compelling and interesting. And we'll see what Bill Belichick can do without Tom Brady. Just like we're going to see what Tom Brady does without Bill Belichick. I think it's interesting. It's inherently interesting and compelling. I don't know how much fun it's going to be if they do go 4-4 over their first 8 games. But I think it's going to – I'll put it this way. I think it has the potential – and I'm already more interested in this year's team than I would have been in another go-around with Tom Brady and essentially the same personnel. Let's see if we can, you know, do better than that early playoff exit last year. Let's see if they can get back to secure. No, we've seen that movie. And it was a great movie.
It's a hell of a movie. I could watch
Goodfellas.
Movie 10 more times.
Yeah, it was the best movie of all time. But, okay, we have no other choice. So how do you embrace this? Embrace it by being interested in what happens, and you don't have to love it. You don't have to have fun all the time, especially if your team is not winning. But it's hard to say it won't be dramatic, and it won't be compelling, and won't be interesting to see what happens with this team this year.
So this is the big build-up year. They're gonna build up to hit singles, hit doubles, build up the future for a big 12-5, 13-4 year the year after. No?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I sort of feel. Is that wrong?
No, I guess not.
No, it's nothing wrong with that, right?
Find a way to scratch and claw and get to 10-6 and get in it and see what happens.
Well, yeah, so all right, maybe my anger should be related towards Zoe, because Zoe's still saying 10-6.
Yeah.
You can't have that many problems with a team and still say they're going to be 10-6, 11-5.
You can in this division. You sure can. Absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Your road schedule's tough.
Where's the Patriots quarterback situation compared to the rest of the division? They're third at best, right?
You're probably second.
Ahead of who? Josh Allen?
I put you ahead of Josh Allen. I put it behind, I would say the Jets quarterback is the best.
Sam Darnold is great.
Sam Darnold's best quarterback in the division right now.
But he had his share of issues last year. I hope he's not turning into damaged goods.
I mean, couldn't you see them splitting with any one of those teams, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They do it every year.
Okay.
Miami came in here and kicked your ass last game of the year.
So how in this division?
That's the way I approach the division every year. Like, you know, they got to come and shock you a game or two here.
So you're going to play 500 within your division. It sounds like 8-8.
Yeah, play the game overall. This way. Would you take the Patriots guys or Sam Darnold right now?
Sam Darnold.
This is how I do it, so I would pick Sam Darnold. Would you take the Patriots guys or the fifth overall pick right now? I would take the fifth overall pick. That then leaves you with the Buffalo Bills. And you look at that team and you say, yeah, I don't want that guy as my quarterback, they're still a good team. They're going to win games.
Yeah.
They're turning
in the right direction, right?
Yeah, they're a team that's on the way up. So the quarterback will ultimately hold them back.
Yeah.
But they're a good team. And they were a tough team last year, even with Tom Brady. So even though their quarterback situation isn't good, their team is good. 617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls right after these headlines. 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.